This is the Shit You Need to Know podcast. I'm your host, Martha Riley. I'm a TEDx speaker, cheese pizza lover, and master human connector. I help introverts, people with social anxiety, and awkward humans of the world find confidence, connection, and their cool factor. Because have you ever been to a party and someone asked you a question that you didn't know the answer to? Yeah, me too. It fucking sucks. But that's where I come in. I'm asking the questions so you'll have the answers. So sit back, relax, because there's shit we need to know. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Shit You Need to Know podcast. As always, we will start off with a question, and this one is pretty easy. It is, do you like your job? I'm recording this on Sunday, and I usually get a pretty bad case of the Sunday scaries. And if you don't know what that means, it's pretty much as it sounds, I guess. It's basically, you had such a good weekend, Sunday night rolls around, and you're like, oh fuck, I have to go to work tomorrow. If you work a normal Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, I don't even want to say normal. If you work just Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, you can often feel that, like, not sort of existential dread that you have to go back to work, and it's not a great feeling. So you can find me on Instagram at RealMarthaRiley for the poll on Wednesday. Before we get into the interview, I also wanted to share just some life updates, I guess. I was feeling pretty weird about the podcast, and I talked a little bit about it in the 25th episode that you can listen to of a podcast retrospective, what I like so far, what I've, you know, want to do differently about the podcast. And I came to the conclusion that the podcast I was making was good, but it is not the type of podcast I like to listen to. I don't typically like to listen to interview podcasts. And that was a lightning bolt of a revelation. I did a poll on Instagram too. I was like, okay, do you guys like this? Like, what kind of content do you like? And a lot of people were like, well, we like both, but we only really listen to the interview podcast if it's something that we know, if we're really interested in, or if we've been listening for a long time, and that is just another one of the show. So me starting off, you not knowing me at all, doing interviews right off the bat was a bold move. A lot of you do know me. A lot of you are my friends and family, but there are a large amount of listeners who don't know me. And for you to listen to interviews and not really get to know me, it didn't sit right with me. Like, it felt really off, and I felt really drained doing these interviews all the time. There was one week I had, God, I think it was like 7 or 8. And so that just took a ton of my energy. It took a ton of my time, and it became just so weird and not fun and really, really stressful. So that's sort of why I did that 25th episode, was because I was like, okay, I'm stressed. I don't know what to talk about anymore. The interviews that I'm listening to are interesting, but they're not, you know, I'm not that good at interviewing people yet. So I had a light bulb moment, I guess. But yeah, that light bulb moment was, okay, this, the podcast that I'm creating is not one that I'm listening to. How can I, and not that I'm not listening to it, it's not one that I would typically pick out of a crowd. So how can I make it something that I do listen to? And I started looking at all the podcasts that I listen to. There are a couple business ones that are only interviews, but the majority of them are just either one person talking or two people talking. So I thought about that for a while. I'm like, okay, could I just do this by myself, or should I bring on a co-host? And the, you know, conclusion that I came to is that a co-host would make this so much more fun. You get to have my perspective, and you get to have someone else's perspective on a variety of life things. There are still going to be interviews interspersed, and they're just a good placeholder if one of us can't make it and one of us can't make the recording, or we just don't like the episode that we put out. we have those interviews, you know, in back. And that's a good, solid plan for me. But what I am really excited about is creating this new content with someone else. And I'm not going to tell you who it is yet. Some of you already know. But I promise you, it is really exciting. And I'm super excited. I'll give you a hint. It is a male. It is not two women talking about things. It'll be a lot of different perspectives because this person is very different from me in a good way. We're both millennials. But we grew up in different parts of the United States and have had very different experiences. So I'm really excited to bring him on. You will find out more after these interviews go through. The last one will actually be with him and it'll be like, hey, this is my new co-host. What's up? And yeah, we're just going to run with it from there. Hopefully it brings a new set of eyes to the podcast, new content, and more personality, because I'm really funny and I don't think that comes across on this podcast that much, which is like really unfortunate because I'm super fucking funny. I don't know if you knew that, but I am. Enough about me, more about this week's guest. Her name is Kayla Landetta, and she is a bariatric life coach. So she got into this because 3.5 years ago, she had bariatric surgery to help her lose weight. And she said she was always an overweight kid. This was something that just really came naturally to her. She was like, okay, this is something that I need to do to be healthier and to make a difference in my life. 3.5 years ago, she also started this account called Time to Deflate. You can find her on Instagram. She started sharing her life online about the surgery, about everything that, you know, comes with the surgery, how to have sex when you're overweight. That's one thing that stuck out in my mind. And I just thought it was really cool that she was sharing her story, getting really vulnerable. As of today, she has 69,500 followers on Instagram. So she's obviously very influential. I follow her and she's a great person. Kayla, you are a great person if you're listening. I love talking to you. And we talk a lot about how this decision came to be, what her life has been like after it, and what are some motivation tips to, you know, if you're looking to lose weight, how can you do that without making it so fucking boring? Because it is boring. You go to the gym and you eat better. I mean, maybe there's more to it than that. I'm obviously not an expert on weight loss, considering I've been trying to go to the gym for about 2 years now. So anyways, Kayla is an amazing guest and I hope you really enjoy her interview. She is thoughtful, she is kind, and most importantly, she really cares about her message and getting it out to people who need to listen. So if you or someone you know is either considering bariatric surgery, listen to this interview. And Kayla also offers coaching services for the recovery and the decision process. So Kayla, take it away.
Yeah, so I am Kayla Landetta. I currently run the social media and website for Time to Deflate. It all started out with 3.5 years ago. I decided to have weight loss surgery. And while I had never talked about trying to lose weight in the past or really be open about that part of my life, I decided the day of my surgery to go public. And while sharing the ups and downs, amassed over 70,000 people following my journey on Instagram and 9,000 people following me on YouTube, and slowly but surely changed my life into becoming a partial influencer and partial coach for other weight loss surgery patients trying to be successful online.
Has it been a weird transition from normal life to suddenly gaining all those followers and then you have to share all the parts of your life online, whether you sort of like it or not? Or do you keep some things to yourself?
Yeah, it's actually something I've been struggling with for a while now, especially as I transition more into like weight loss maintenance and starting a company. I feel like for so long, it was just me on social media. So I would just talk about all the highs and lows. I mean, I go on my Instagram stories and I'll go on with my husband. We'll talk about how, you know, sex is different after, you know, extreme weight loss and the pros and cons of that. Like we're very, very open. But starting this new chapter of my life, there's this very weird, you know, you're starting a business. You want to look like you have your shit together, as you'd say on this podcast. And so it's this fine balance of wanting to be authentic and wanting to, you know, really tell the honest truth of like, hey, this part really sucks. And at the same time look like, no, I'm doing well, please listen to me. And same with weight loss maintenance. Like, you know, if I'm up 5 pounds, I try to be honest with my followers and I'll go on and be like, oh, I really messed up my diet today. I need to get back on the bandwagon. But at the same time, it's like, I'm marketing myself as this bariatric success story. And part of that is that failing and coming back on and being honest about when you're failing. But it's a very weird conundrum for what stuff you keep to yourself and what stuff you're so open about. But for the most part, like, yeah, there's definitely certain things that I try to keep to myself. But for the most part, my husband's been amazing in being like, nah, if you want to share that on social media, like, go ahead. I'm the one who helped, you know, you quit your job so you could do this.
Well, that's great to have that support system.
Yeah.
I'm definitely in that same boat where I'm like, okay, what's too much to share? Do people even care? That's the other thing that I'm dealing with. Like, I love starting this podcast and I've definitely gotten a great response, but then I'm like, well, what do I keep talking about? So it's, I've definitely experienced that for sure. Can you walk me through your journey from deciding to get the surgery to losing all that weight and to life now? I guess, because I've been struggling to lose weight myself, but only a couple pounds here and there. So I want to hear, yeah, like, what's the full rundown of how that happened? What made you decide to do that? And how is life improved since then?
Yeah, so I grew up obese. I don't remember a time in my life that I would have ever been considered a normal weight. And so throughout high school and college, you know, I always felt that I could keep up. My husband now was my boyfriend since I was 14 years old. I always felt attractive. I was able to keep up for the most part. And suddenly towards the end of college and when I left college, I realized that, wow, I really can't keep up. Moving into my first apartment with him, I couldn't help move. Suddenly realized just how hard life was getting. And so I had looked into weight loss surgery a couple times. And it wasn't until I had an old coworker back at my college at UMD, who she came out public after she lost 100 pounds saying, oh, I had the vertical sleeve gastrectomy. It was the first time I knew somebody who was young, who had surgery and had success. It was the first time I reached out to anybody like, wait a minute, tell me more. What is this? So when I moved back to the Twin Cities a little while later after I had graduated, I realized that my insurance at the time did cover bariatric surgery. So I started going through the seminars, my first appointments without telling anybody. I didn't tell a soul because I was so mortified for finally realizing that, like, I had to resort to surgery was kind of the way I framed it in my head. There's such a negative connotation about bariatric surgery still in our society. So I started going through it. And then I finally told my parents, and a little bit while later, I told Anthony, my now husband, and they were amazing and supportive, but it still definitely was this like weird, like, oh, who do you tell? Who do you not? So I went through an 8-month long process to get approved by my insurance and doctors to have surgery. And the day of my surgery, about 20 minutes before I got wheeled back, I took a selfie and I posted it being like, hey, I'm having a weight loss surgery today. I hope you guys support me. And if you don't tell me. and wish me the best of luck. And starting that day, I started sharing the entire process online. And the amount of outpouring of support that I got was incredible from the people who came out of the woodwork to be there for me. And if anyone in my life wasn't for it, they did exactly what I asked. They just didn't comment and they weren't a part of it at all, which was totally fine. So starting from that day, I was working at a call center, working 10-hour days in a cubicle on the phone, staring at a computer screen to, over the course of the year, losing about 150 pounds. I started working for a fitness studio as a manager. And suddenly fitness, wellness, nutrition was just my life. I was surrounded by these people at a job I could never even fathom working, even a year before that. I never thought I would have been welcomed in that situation. And then over the course of 2 years working as a manager at a fitness studio, I grew my social media account like crazy, talking about the pros and cons of losing weight and the highs and lows. And companies started reaching out saying, hey, we want to have you represent our products. I started getting reached out to by, you know, local insurance companies or bariatric clinics saying, how could you mentor people? Like, you've been such a success. And I really started to realize about a year ago that this could be a job. I could really be somebody to help the bariatric community. So last fall, I officially quit my job and I've started working as a coach to bariatric patients and working with companies in an influencer standpoint to work with people wanting to do extreme weight loss and bariatric surgery and anyone who's looking for a better, well-rounded, you know, wellness lifestyle, basically.
How did the motivation work? Like, was it hard to lose all that weight? Did you want to quit sometimes? Or was this like, no, I have to do this. This is the only goal I have right now. Can you talk a little bit about how you set goals and how you maintain that motivation?
Yeah, definitely. So in my opinion, motivation is crap. motivation is so incredibly fleeting for me. And I always say if I was motivated 100% of the time, I would have lost weight a long time ago without the help of surgery. Surgery acted for me as like when you're swimming in a pool and it's like when you first dive in, you have a lot of momentum carrying you and you can go a really long way before you really have to start kicking off. Like that's like the first year of weight loss surgery where it's pretty easy, especially for the first 6 months to lose weight. And then it's like a little bit later, it's like when you hit the other end of the pool and you get to use your foot to like kick off and you get a little bit of extra momentum. And then after that, you're just swimming on your own and it's like completely on you to swim and just like keep up and keep it off. Weight loss surgery for me, it was just such a crazy jumpstart into my weight loss where I had medical professionals behind me, a therapist, an exercise therapist, and I have this internal tool to eat less but still feel full. And it was just amazing actually being able to see results right away at the beginning. Because like I'm sure, especially anyone who's listening to this who's had to lose, let's say more than 30 to 50 pounds, when you have to lose more than that, the weight just trickles off of you for a while. And that kills any motivation or any idea of dedication at that point, because it's just like, well, crap, this isn't worth it. So being able to actually see results in your body and get that as kind of the stone rolling down the hill, it makes such a big difference. And yeah, I definitely wanted to quit. There were certain times that it was like, screw it, I'd rather eat pizza. I'd rather go out for margaritas. Like there's so many other good things in life, but it's crazy losing 30 pounds. All of a sudden I realized I could walk up the stairs easier. Losing, you know, 50 pounds. Suddenly I was like, oh my gosh, biking is fun again. You know, losing 75 pounds. It was like, wait, I can take a group fitness class and people don't stare at me. There were so many non-scale victories that were mind blowing that I tried to journal and like post on social media because that was the stuff that was so much more inspiring to me than any numbers were ever inspiring.
Can you talk a little more about what you mean when you say motivation is crap? Is it just that it happens so easily at first and then you're like, well, I don't need to try? Or is it just that it's just, you know, something that you always are looking for but never have?
Yeah. So motivation to me, like I'll give you an example. I recently signed up for a community center. I'd moved away from my apartment in Orange Theory. And so I signed up for a community center and I got really into body pump for a few weeks. It was amazing. I went every other day and I was so motivated the entire time. And then one day I woke up and I had a bad case of tennis elbow and like I couldn't even bend my arm. And I knew I had to have time for that to heal. And so I kept walking. I kept doing cardio. My arm eventually healed and I've not been back to body pump because I'm no longer motivated because I lost my streak. You know, food tracking. A lot of people go to MyFitnessPal for losing weight. They'll start tracking their food to really keep an eye on their nutrition. And one of the most motivating factors of MyFitnessPal is as you track food every day, you develop a streak and you'll log in and be like, congrats, Kayla, you've tracked your food for 30 days. My dad is a prime example. My dad's lost 70 pounds on his own and he has like a 1600 day streak on MyFitnessPal. I think my longest streak was probably close to like 250, 300, my first year of weight loss surgery. And I lost my streak at one point. I went on vacation and I didn't have internet. And so it wouldn't sync and I lost my streak. And I don't think I've ever tracked more than 3 weeks again in MyFitnessPal because it's like, oh, well, I lost my streak. I don't care. Motivation disappears. Motivation is something that just kind of ebbs and flows with life where other things get prioritized that you're motivated to do those over your health, over financial goals, over so many other things. That I realize that there's certain habits in your life that you just have to be dedicated to. So a lot of times I talk on my social media about dedication over motivation is a hashtag I like to use, where there are times that I go for my couch to 5K run on days that it's drizzling out and 40 degrees in Minnesota, and I do not want to do that. But it's part of the habit I'm trying to form. And so I go get it done and I go home and it's done. I figure it's kind of the same as, you know, brushing your teeth at night before you go to bed. There's some nights that you want to just lay down in bed and not wash your face and not brush your teeth or anything. And then you're like, gross. No, I have to get up and do that. It's just a habit that you just suck it up and do to take care of yourself.
That's interesting. That's an interesting take. I feel like I am, I guess, in deep to the personal development world, and I've been to a couple Tony Robbins events, and he's all about like motivation. So I think it's refreshing that you have that take on it.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I just started reading Girl, Wash Your Face by Rachel Hollis. And there is a whole chapter where she's talking about like keeping a commitment to yourself. And she described it as like, if going to the gym, if you like, you know, ditch out on it because you're like, oh, I'd rather just watch Netflix today. And she said, what if you equate that to like, oh, I was going to hang out with my friend Stacy, but like, ugh, I'm just going to watch Netflix instead. She was like, if you flake out on Stacy enough, do you think Stacy really wants to keep hanging out with you? No. And it was one of those things I was like, man, if I consider like those wellness habits as I'm ditching out on someone or something that'll take care of me in response and like something that should be a part of my life. If I just ditch out on them continuously, why would they take care of me? Why are they going to give me anything? And like putting it in that mind frame, I was like, yeah, I shouldn't ditch out on my exercise. I shouldn't ditch out on eating a healthy meal today. And yeah, just understanding that it's like, no, that's part of just like being a healthy human being. I need to just kind of suck it up, especially for someone like me. I will always struggle with my weight for the rest of my life. It is something I will always deal with. And so similar to somebody taking their medication for diabetes or, you know, whatever it may be, you just have to suck it up and do it. And that's how I kind of perceive my life now is just like, nope, that's just my life.
I have been ditching out on the gym myself. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to do that tomorrow. That's funny that you mentioned
that. And it's funny because it's like, I don't mean to guilt trip people at all and stuff because there are times that it's like, I don't go to the gym because other priorities just overtake it where it's like, ugh, I haven't taken care of my house. I need to do laundry. I need to do all these other things. I need to take care of my business. And suddenly it's on the back burner. But for me, it's more about before when I would do that, it would just cycle then where it was like, well, I didn't go yesterday, so I just screwed everything over. So now I can't do it. Versus now it's like, oh, I didn't go to the gym yesterday or the day before. I should probably get back on that. And I go. Not letting those bad habits carry on forever. And instead just being like, oh, nope, I should do that.
I used to be that person that would say yes to everything and then other things would get neglected. And I still kind of am that person, but I'm really trying to work hard. Like I'm looking around my room right now, haven't cleaned that in a while. So I have to say no to some plans today in order to, you know, get that ready so I can watch Game of Thrones and not feel stressed out about it. So I think it's definitely a balance. It's a balance. Now is the fun point in the show. I started asking people these three random questions and they always have good discussion after them. So they're kind of on the spot, but the first question is, what is the most embarrassing thing that has happened to you? What's your most awkward moment?
Oh my gosh, the most embarrassing thing that has happened to me. In middle school, as the fat girl, I was running down the hallway to like, get to lunch with my friends and I literally slipped on a banana peel and wiped out as the fat girl on a banana peel in the hallway. That was super embarrassing and still haunts me to this day.
Oh no, that would haunt me too. Middle school? God, middle school was a bitch. Like people were not kind back then. All right. The next question is, what is your favorite frozen pizza?
Favorite frozen pizza by far is a solid margarita pizza. Like I love the ones at Target that you can just get. They're like organics brand. Love margarita.
Yes, me too. I have this weird thing where I only really eat cheese pizza. It's a very odd thing. Maybe a podcast episode for another time. But it's been an ongoing debate on my Instagram lately. What's the best frozen pizza like brand? So my friends love Jack's Pizza. My boyfriend loves lots of matzo, but I'm like, you know, Totino's party pizza, but I think I'm in the minority on that one.
I was going to say, Jack's Pizza brings me too much back to college. I don't think I could go back to Jack's because they were the ones always on sale and that was what we were always buying.
Right. It's not great. The next question is, what does human connection mean to you? And this is a purposely vague question, and you can take it however you mean.
Human connection for me in the last few years, especially on social media, really comes down to the sheer amount of uniqueness that we all have. But at the same time, we all have so much of the same story in all of us, and none of us like to understand that that's true, I feel like. You know, when I started working with bariatric patients as a coach, one of my key things I talk about is the fact that I want people to realize that being obese or being overweight is something that millions of us in this world deal with every day. And all of the weird things that we grew up that caused us to be like that, all of the weird diets that we've tried, all the weird failures, millions of us have been through that. And same with weight loss surgery. Considering weight loss surgery, going through it, there's literally millions of us. But we all feel so incredibly isolated, and we all feel so incredibly like no one has ever dealt with this problem like I have. And when you get to actually work with people and you get people talking, and you get people talking to each other, and you realize how similar we all are, even if we all have our own little like taste on everything, realizing that we're not alone and realizing that our experiences are not singular and that you can find people who understand. I went from living such an incredibly like quiet, isolated life where I thought nobody would understand what I was feeling, what I understood my life to be. And the second I started sharing it and just talking about my story, everyone came out of the woodwork and were like, oh my gosh, I understand that. Oh my gosh, yeah, me too. You know, and I think it's kind of like social media. It's like when the Me Too movement started, where suddenly everyone was like, oh my gosh, I know somebody who went through that too. Oh my gosh, I went through that. Good or bad experiences. It's crazy when you get people actually talking about what their lives are like and realizing just how much we all are connected. And I love it. I think it is one of the beautiful parts of social media. Like so many people talk about the awfulness of social media nowadays, and I think it's beautiful. I think social media has brought so much to my life in terms of career, friendships. I mean, I've traveled across the country to go hang out with hundreds of weight loss surgery people I met on Instagram. That never would have been something I would have done before. And something my mom, I still make fun of her because I'm like, you said not to make friends on the internet. And look, I'm going across the country to hang out with them now. But I think that's human connection, especially in today's society, just how amazing the internet has been for that and getting people closer together.
That's great. I feel like I do love Instagram. I think I found actually like I'm really good at finding cool things on Instagram. So I found my hairstylist on Instagram. I find new restaurants all the time. So I think people can use it as a tool more than they perhaps realize. So you mentioned that millions of people are going through this thing at any one time, and we're definitely not alone. What did it feel like when you felt that you were alone? Because I dealt with anxiety for a long time in college, and I like all my friends were out partying and I was like in my room because I felt isolated. And I now know that's not the case and everyone has their own story, but how did it feel to you? What were some of the feelings that you felt when you were, you know, you felt alone and you felt like things wouldn't get better?
If you do see me on social media, I am like perky, Miss Positivity. Like that is me. And that's how I've always been. But I am medically certified as depressed and deal with anxiety. I know exactly how it's like. And it's funny that you mentioned like staying in while other people were out partying. Like I just talked to one of my husband's old college friends that we were friends in college too, but now we're a lot closer. And she was in the engineering department with him. She's gorgeous. She's funny. She's smart. And they used to always go out together and she would always invite me. And in my head, I always had the story that it was a pity invite that she just invited me because I was Anthony's girlfriend. And I would stay home every single time. Like I'd be like, no, I don't want to hang out with you. And now we are such good friends. I love getting together with her. And I just mentioned this to her the other day that I was like, gosh, I hated you back in college because you were gorgeous. You were pretty. You got to hang out with these boys all day because you were in the engineering program. You were so much smarter than me. And she was like, what? She was like, I thought you didn't come out with us because you thought we were a bunch of nerds and you had way better things to do. She was like, I was jealous of you. I thought you were so cool and so confident. And I was like, what? Nowadays, I can look back and be like, man, I had so many stories in my head that I never cross-checked. I never thought if they were true. I just created stories about people and went with it. But I remember sitting in my room, like sad, depressed with a glass of wine, just like watching Netflix and just thinking like, this is going to be my life. Like, I remember sitting there being like, this is the life I've created for myself because I have not taken care of my body. I have not taken care of my mental health. I didn't study something that's going to get me a good job. Like, it was incredibly just like, I felt like I had just written the pages in my book and that was it. There was no way to rewrite it. I had set my path and that was done. And getting out of college, taking control of my weight, taking control of my job and leaving like the dead end job to slowly progress farther into something I love, really handling my relationship and now my marriage to change it into what I want it to be, where it's this incredibly equal partnership. And like, I work at it every day with my husband to be better for both of us. Like, I suddenly realized that just because that was my past and yeah, I started to write my story like that doesn't mean that that has to be my future. It doesn't mean that the next chapter can't be different. And I think that's like the most liberating thing as you get older when you realize that, like, just because of how you were in your teens and 20s doesn't mean that the rest of your life has to be like that by any means.
For sure. I'm trying to think what I was like. I'm still definitely very weird. So I kept that part of myself, but I made a lot more friends. I was really afraid to put myself out there and make friends. And now I'm like, oh no, like I love my friends. I would do anything for my friends. So it is interesting how you changed. And I love the part what you said about writing the pages in your own book, writing the chapters. What's next for you? What is the next chapter? And could you tell us about, like, what are your goals? What are you looking forward to in life?
Yeah. So right now, obviously, last fall, I quit my job and I'm really trying to grow this ability to mentor and coach in the bariatric community. I'm really hoping to start working with like clinics and insurance companies around the cities to make their bariatric programs better and easier for people to actually get through and understand and be long-term successes. Because I feel like there's a lot of ways programs could be built on. So when I first had bariatric surgery and I decided to share my journey online, one of the things I kept telling my now husband was just that, you know, everybody has a horror story. Everybody knows somebody who's gained the weight back. And I was like, I want to be the one person that they know who succeeded. And I was like, I want people to have one positive story to be like, no, it's worth it. And if I could be that for the Twin Cities, the US, like whatever it may be, like that keeps me on my goals and my health. And that would hopefully help so many other people actually achieve that as well. But besides like business goals, like right now I'm paying off my student debt this year. That is like our biggest goal right now as a family. I'm so excited to be debt-free thanks to Dave Ramsey. It's going to happen. And then we're just trying to figure out what the future actually holds for us. I keep looking at like, we have this pipe dream of we'd love to live tiny someday. We keep looking at tiny houses, which is something I never would have considered years ago. And now I think it would be amazing if we could figure out how to do it legally. There's just so many pipe dreams. Like I'm right at this turning point in me and Anthony's lives that the whole world has opened up for us, that we never thought we'd be able to travel because of my weight. We never thought we'd be able to live a certain way. I never thought I'd pay off my debt because of the jobs I had. Like suddenly there's this whole world open and I'm so excited.
I was just going to ask, do you feel like you were limited in the past by your weight and people's perception of your size? And now that you have lost this weight, like you feel more confident. Could you talk a little bit more about how your confidence has improved?
Yeah, 100%. You know, there's a lot of statistics that show that weight bias is one of the only biases in America that has actually continuously grown, while other biases, you know, racial, gender discrimination, LGBTQ have continued to diminish over time. There is a certain perception about people who are overweight or morbidly obese, or in my case, super morbidly obese, that they're lazy, they don't know how to take care of themselves, et cetera, et cetera, even though there's no actual factual proof of that. And unfortunately, when society tells you that enough and we're in the workplace and school tells you that enough, you believe it. And I feel like there's a certain amount of like, you just become what people tell you. Not that I'm saying that I was lazy or anything, but I definitely put that mark in my head that I was like, oh, I could never go start my own business. Oh, I could never work in these certain industries. There's just no way. And so I went from being, you know, a very quiet, like I always loved my jobs. I always did them very well, but I'd always sit in the back office. I'd always be in a cubicle. I liked working on computers where I wasn't like dealing with people, even though I love customer service. And now slowly over time, like going and interviewing at a fitness studio was mind blowing to me. I like went in like, oh my gosh, there's no way in hell they are going to hire me. even though I'd been, you know, I lost 150 pounds, like I understood the fitness industry. I understood the struggle that people went through. And then going on and just being like, no, I want to create my own job. Like that is a terrifying leap for anyone who's decided to create their own job or be an entrepreneur in some way. Like I think every other night my husband has to give me another pep talk to be like, no, you're making the right decision. It's okay. It's going to be good. Even if you fail, you tried this. That's amazing. Like, thank God he's there to keep telling me that, because I'm sure, as you know, starting the podcast and everything, like it's terrifying every day. But there's no way I would have had the confidence to do this before. But now there's a topic that I'm so incredibly passionate about that I know I can help people with. And now I just have the confidence to actually carry it out. And that's cool.
Can you speak a little bit more on how you stand out in the online space? Because I know, I would say that you probably have a really specific niche, but in terms of the overall Instagram influencer space, do you feel like it's crowded? Like, do you think that you wish you had more followers? Or could you talk a little more about what it's like to be an influencer as well?
Yeah, definitely. Being an influencer has changed so much in the last few years, because it used to be that just like if a company gave you a code and sent out some free samples, you were like, oh my gosh, I'm an influencer. And now, like, as people get more savvy, as people realize how much, you know, announcing a brand on your social media is worth, like how much that company is saving in money compared to doing a, you know, typical ad campaign, and people are making money off of it, the field is getting very crowded, because there's a lot of people who are super happy to receive a sample and talk about that company nonstop. There are certain people who will only work as a paid partnership. There's some people who work with hundreds of brands and that's all they do. There's people like me who typically I only work with 3 brands at a time, and they have to be people who I really love that I would buy myself. So there's a lot of different like varying degrees over the influencer-ness. Ways I think I stand out on mine, one thing that I'm not willing to compromise on is my authenticity. Like, if there's a product I try that I don't like, I will flat out tell you. If there is a product that I'm using every day, I will show you. And then I think one of the biggest things people kind of struggle with online is there's so much hate on the internet already. There is so much disagreements. There's so many salty people, you know, whatever it may be. And there are times that like I see something online and I want to just go off. Like I have very strong opinions on so many things in my life, and going off and being that type of a personality has never served me well. And going about it in a positive light, even when somebody needs tough love, even when there's something negative, learning how to rephrase it and say it in a productive, positive way, not just like fake positivity, but a productive way, I think is what really separates me from a bunch of other people on social media. I think people appreciate somebody who takes the time to be productive with their statements. And then just in general, like I love sharing my life. I like being completely out there. And while I am niche with bariatric surgery, I know a ton of people follow me just for general, you live a cool life, or like, oh, I love you and your husband, or oh, like your animals are super cute. And so just showing a well-rounded life, because while bariatric surgery is my life, like I made a career out of it, it's not my entire life. Like I do a lot of stuff that isn't totally related to that. And I think people really like to see that your entire life doesn't have to be weight loss and still be a success. Like you don't have to be a gym rat. You don't have to have protein shakes every day. You can go out with your friends and have pizza and a beer and still stick to your goals. And so I try to keep that balance really important on my page for people to know it is possible.
Was it tricky when you first started out to navigate the whole world? Because I feel like if I suddenly gained, I don't know, 50,000 followers overnight, I'd be like, not sure what to do here. So did you have anyone to guide you through the process?
Not really. I mean, I made a couple friends online who definitely had more followers than me at the beginning. And so basically, like, I kind of didn't even really look at the numbers for a long time, like, especially back before I wanted to make it a career. Like I just didn't really care. And I always thought it was funny. I'd go to these parties or events and stuff like that, and like somebody would make a comment about my social media to a stranger, and I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm on Instagram. And they'd be like, no, no, but tell them how many followers you have. And I'd be like, oh, you know, I have, you know, like 63,000 followers. And then suddenly people are like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? You're famous. And I'm like, no, I just talk to people online. And like, because before you want to make it like a job, before you really make it an income stream or anything, you're like, I don't know. I just talk to people. It's just my normal everyday life. It felt the same as anybody like with 300 followers getting on their Instagram and talking on Instagram stories. I was like, I don't know if you guys care, but I'm going to tell you this anyway because I'm documenting it for myself. Now that I'm farther out and I'm making it a job, it's very weird because I feel like half the days I'm still like that where I'm like, I don't care about the analytics. I'm going to tell you this. And then half the days I'm like, crap, I'm making a job out of this. I should probably formulate my feed a little better and make sure it actually is cohesive. I feel like that's also why people like me though. And I feel like that's also why people are just kind of like, I am very authentic in the fact that I don't have a perfectly curated Instagram. And it really is just my life that I'm posting and stuff that's important to me. And I think that can kind of be refreshing in the world of perfectly curated Instagrams nowadays.
Right. I mean, I've been checking out your feed as we've been interviewing and it's cute. Like you have pictures of your husband and your dog and that's exactly who I would want to follow on Instagram. So I'm sure that definitely helps people relate to you as well. Mm-hmm. Like it's so cute and wholesome. I love it. And what is your advice, I guess, for someone looking to lose weight or is really dealing with their body image? Do you have any specific pieces of advice that you give people that, you know, you coach as well?
Yeah. So one of the main things to anyone, no matter if you're trying to lose 10 pounds or, you know, 200 pounds, one thing I really learned about myself and everyone I get to talk to every day is you really need to take a step back and look at those limiting beliefs that you've already put on yourself, those stories that you've implanted in your head that you think are true about yourself, because nothing has to be true. Like you are the one who is in the end in control about who you are and what habits you have. There were so many times that I told myself, like, I remember telling myself in college that I was like, well, I can't lose weight. I'm big boned and my metabolism shot. There's just no possible way. I had no like scientific backing for that. Like I was just like, nope, that's it. I can't lose weight. And like, that was it. I was done. There were so many times that like losing weight, I would hit a stall where I would lose weight for 3 weeks. And I would just be like, well, I broke my surgery and I can't do anything right. And I'm done. I guess that's it. I guess I'm only losing 90 pounds. It's like, no, Kayla, that's not it at all. Like just keep chugging along and your weight will fall off. And it did because I kept going. And besides that, I would tell people that consistency is the most important thing that you can do on top of anything else. There is no supplement. There is no workout routine. There is no food group that you can cut out that is more important than consistency. Because I have a lot of friends, including myself, that you jump back and forth between diets, you try different things. And it's like usually at the end of every month, you're like, well, that didn't work. So I'm going to try something else. In the end, like you have to be consistent for about 3 months to determine if something's like really working for you or not. And I feel like so many people just, we don't have the patience for it. And that ends up being like the most important thing that you can possibly do. Like when your weight loss stalls, when you feel like you're not seeing changes with your body, keep doing those healthy behaviors anyway, and you will see changes. It just takes more time than, you know, our society, we're the instant gratification society nowadays. And I feel like a lot of us need to really work on our patience and understanding just like the science of our bodies, that our bodies don't want to change rapidly and that's okay.
Right. And I feel like that's something I'm also working to get out of debt, and I'm following the, you know, Dave Ramsey's baby steps, following that too. And I have to remember that it's not an overnight process. I'm not going to magically erase all my credit card debt in one day as much as I would love to.
Yes.
But I think that can apply to so many things in life, whether, you know, you're starting a new relationship or you are paying off debt or even like starting a new job too. Like everything takes time, which is such like a BS answer. And I'll probably hate myself for saying this, but it's so true. I mean, have you found that to be true in other areas of your life as well?
Oh, 100%. I mean, even because like you said about the debt, like I'm sitting there and I'm like, man, I wish all my student loan debt could be forgiven right now. But at the same time, like I've laid out my plan for the next year and I know that's the case. Or I think it's really funny because so your first month after you have weight loss surgery, you're on this really, really restrictive diet. You're basically relearning how to eat again. And typically people can lose anywhere between like 15 to 40 pounds in that first month, depending on, you know, how big they were at the beginning and just what, how your body responds to it. And I know for myself, I lost about 23 pounds my first month post-op. And there are so many people who will message me and say, Kayla, I don't know what to do. It's like, I'm 1 month post-op and I think I'm failing. And I'm like, why do you think you're failing? They're like, well, I've only lost 21 pounds. You lost 21 pounds in a month. That's amazing. Oh, but I thought I should lose so much more. think about a couple months ago before you ever had surgery. Would you have been happy if you lost 10 pounds in a month? Well, yeah. Like, you just lost 21. You just doubled what you thought would have been impressive. And so, like, all those things where it's like, it takes time, but at the same time, like, if you're able to make a huge advancement, appreciate it. Like, really take the moment to, like, understand, like, wow, I just did something really cool. Paying off debt, we just had last month where we had a big refund from, we moved out of our apartment. We got some prorated rent back, and we were able to throw a little bit of a bigger chunk at our student loans. And at the same time, like, I sat there and I was like, God, that barely, like, put a dent in it. I'm like, oh my God, I just threw, you know, an extra half payments at my loans. Like, that's amazing. Like, being able to take a step back and be like, any little extra advancement in that time frame that you're setting is so cool and something worth being celebrated. And I think so many of us forget about that.
I think that's so important. One of the best pieces of advice that I've gotten working with coaches and learning about personal development is always to celebrate the little things. Like, when my podcast launched, I was like, it was crazy. Like, I was so excited, but I'm like, all right, yeah, like, let's celebrate this. When it got 1,000 downloads, I'm like, oh my God, like, this is amazing. So even just the little things, it's totally worth it.
Yes, totally. But no, as one last passing note, if anyone out there knows somebody who is about to consider bariatric surgery, going through the process, is post-op and struggling, I do work with people one-on-one, and I'm trying to establish small groups as well to find other people who feel isolated, to give yourself that positive community. So if anyone is interested in working with me or chatting with me about what that might look like, you can go to my website, timetodeflate.com, and there's a little form you can fill out, and we can start the discussion to see if we'd be a good fit and hopefully make you a long-term success and keep you maintaining your weight loss and feel very well-rounded while going into that process to really change your life. And for anyone out there considering bariatric surgery, if you know somebody, it is one of the best things you can do for yourself. And I hope you find that support group to really lead you through that really huge change in your life. But it is so worth it.
Thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Shit You Need to Know podcast. I will be back next week with a new episode, and you have about 5 more weeks to look forward to the new format of the podcast, and I hope you love it. See you then. Thanks for listening to the Shit You Need to Know podcast. I've set up a phone number in case you have a question you need answering or just want to talk. Feel free to give me a ring at 301-941-7448. That's 301-941-SHIT. Also, don't give me a ring. No one does that. You can text the number too. I don't know why I said ring. If you enjoyed this episode of the Shit You Need to Know podcast, feel free to subscribe on iTunes and rate it 5 stars.